A new life filled with Christ marches by a different drummer. A few weeks ago, we were in John. Yes, I'm sorry. Retake. Yes, start? Okay. Sorry. Remember these things. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 16. A few weeks ago, we were with John as he was teaching us and children, teenagers, and elders in the church about growing in Christ as a journey and a process. We see the disciples, they're always on the same topic. They're talking to believers. They're talking to the church. They're talking to us about what we're supposed to be doing, not just saying a prayer. Matter of fact, they really don't really talk about saying a prayer. They're talking about what we do after we get into fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're all at the text, we'll begin by reading the verses that we're going to cover, and then we'll go back and dive in a bit to them. So 2 Peter 1, 1 through 16. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power hath given unto all us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We covered that last week. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be not in you and abound, they will make you that ye neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotteneth that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you all in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to his majesty. Lord, we thank you for Peter. We thank you for John. We thank for all your disciples, Lord, that put their necks literally on the line, their bodies on the line to follow you as an example, as a remembrance of what we're to be doing today as they did 2,000 years ago. We thank you for this day. And we ask that we would feel your presence here in this word. And the words that come forth are words that you want others to see. and hear and act upon. In Jesus' name, amen. So telling people about Jesus is a great thing, and accepting Jesus is a great thing, but it's not the end all, it's not the all done, it's not the good job mentality that we are to have. Through the Gospels, we are reminded of the gift of Jesus Christ and our responsibility in that relationship. It's a relationship. He's in us. We're in him. We abide in him. He abides in us. He who abides in my word, I shall abide in him. See, this is the kind of relationship here that we're having. We're not having like a jack-in-the-box where we drive through and we say, and the clown says, may I take your order, please? And we just give orders. Yeah. Would you like that supersize? Sure, why not? Here's my money. No. The kind of relationship we have is an intimate intercourse relationship. Yeah, I know that word, intercourse. Yeah, we've ruined that word. It's conversation. Intercourse is conversation. It's not something dirty. We're not doing something dirty with the Lord. We're having conversation with the Lord. And really, we need to have more conversation with the Lord. For just like as infants we are born into this world, and it's a pretty dangerous world. If our mommy and daddy's left us like laying in a crib, how long would we last? Pop out of our mommy, she sets us down on the floor and says, okay, have a good life. No, it's not going to be a good thing. In a world where codependency is a dirty word, there's another dirty word, codependency. You're codependent. We need to be codependent on Jesus first, because we're together. We're together. We're in the ministry of to one another fellowship. We need to be codependent on God and the Holy Spirit. The world wants us to be self-dependent, self-righteous, with our own righteousness. How long will that last? Well, 70, 80, 90 years, and our righteousness ends along with our breath. And if we follow that route that the world has for us, we're just going to be prisoners of war, POW, and whatever the world's whim is today. And we see the world has lots of whims today. Just whim after whim. Chase this, chase that. No. That's not what we're supposed to chase. Jesus. God wants us to die to self. The world wants us to be self. All of our problems are about ourself. We just not all that we can be. We need to be more that we can be as human beings, as with our sin nature. How good can I be with my sin nature? Not very good. Not very good. When we accept Jesus Christ, our sin nature does not have dominion any longer over our us. It has no authority. The devil is a toothless lion. He has no authority over us. None. Unless we give it to him. And we give it to him, and as soon as we walk away from our Father and start looking at something else in the window. I might like to go over there. I might like to go over here. Die to self. Depend on him with a capital H, who created us, knows everything in the past, present, and future. We were called out of darkness into the light and called out of this world into eternal life with our Father God. The world is opposite of what God wants. Everything God wants, this world does not want. It wants the opposite. We are upside down. This world is upside down. And God wants to make us right side up. So chapter 1, we're going to look again and dive into it. We got Simon Peter, a servant. Wow, another dirty word. Another dirty word, a servant. You notice he says, I'm a servant and an apostle. He puts servant first. Most of us would like put our grand title. I'm a doctor. I'm Esquire. No, he puts servant. This is the right attitude. See, this is the attitude that we need to remember. A servant of what? Servant of our job? Servant of our best life now? No. Servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. We could be an apostle. There's most of us in this world are apostles of this world. We speak the things of this world. That's what we think of. We don't speak the things of Christ. We think more of the world. So an apostle of Christ. of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained. So obtained. He speaks about those who have obtained it, which means to gain, to attain, usually by a planned action and effort. Not by laying around, not by thinking about it or hoping about it, but a planned action and effort. So you can't obtain anything unless you walk towards it, unless you focus on it. You're not going to get your car to one place by another by sitting in it and thinking about it. You're going to have to go through the steps. You have to turn on the engine. You got to put it in drive. You need to drive forward. And that's what a relationship does. Success in a relationship takes a plan. Later in this chapter, in these verses we're covering today, Peter is going to be talking about what we need to do, the plan, the action steps. We have lots of action. We go to college, we go to high school, we're going to go to first grade, second grade, we're going to go to 12th grade. Well, I skipped a few grades, but anyways, just for the sake of time, just figure all those numbers in there. We're going to go to high school, we're going to go to college. I got a plan to get to my college. I need so many credits. We give more effort into the plan of being edumacated in the things of this world and earthly demonic wisdom than we give in our relationship to Christ. And Peter today is talking about, hey, let's have an action plan. Let's have a relationship to Christ. Let us step out in effort. To obtain what? It says right here. To them that have obtained the precious faith. Wow, that's again, so we see servant is first. We see the precious faith is the goal, right? Precious faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's what God says. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's the target, the faith. With us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So not just any old faith, precious faith, of great value or high price or high cost, esteemed and cherished. It came at a price. It wasn't our blood that had to be spilled. We had no way. I could cut myself all over and bleed all over the place. And it wouldn't have saved me. It wouldn't have saved my wife. It wouldn't have saved my kids. It wouldn't save any of you if I did a sacrifice of myself right here on the stage. If you nailed me to a cross, it still wouldn't save anybody. Because it had to be precious. So God sent his only begotten son. That's what it required. It came as a price, at a price. We were purchased for a price. And we should walk out each day in the understanding that where all of us were going, which was hell, and what was required to be done to keep us out of hell was impossible for us to do, and we needed God to do it for us, that we esteem and cherish it, hold it. Just like that little toy you had as a boy or a girl, your little dolly or your little G.I. Joe or whatever it was, my Matchbox cars, we cherished it. I wrapped up each Matchbox car in gentle toilet paper and put it in my Matchbox case. I made sure the front was covered and the back in case it shook back and forth on my Matchbox lunch pail. That's precious. I held it precious. We need to have that in our walk with Christ. Now, instead of like carrying around our little dollies or our G.I. Joes, we need to pick up and put on Christ. What is the result of all of this? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's the only way to get it. There's no other way to get through. Righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because only he is righteous. We can't get righteousness on our own. Peter tells us, grace and peace be multiplied in abundance unto you through, and there's that word through again, but this time it is something that we need to seek through God and the knowledge of God, and we know the knowledge of God, what he did on the cross, that's the knowledge of the God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Where can this knowledge be obtained? In the Bible. That's why we read the Bible. I hope people are reading the Bible each day on a Bible plan. Once you miss a day, you know, it's kind of like, it kind of stumbles you. You're like, oh, well, no, you need to catch up. Come on, just keep going. But really, the Bible isn't the place that we really love to be on, many of us. It's not the place that we want to go to first. Work comes first, news, mowing the lawn, whatever it is. The world keeps us all too busy, fools us into think that we'll have some time later to spend in fellowship, in koinonia fellowship with Jesus. The Bible, that the world despises, the number one bestseller that the world talks against. They don't want the things of the world, of the word. They want the things of the world. The truth which is in the Bible helps flip us back right side up in an upside down world. So we can actually kind of like walk around and not get sick as we walk through this filthy world. According as his divine power has given us unto all things, so we've got all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. So he's called on us for all things that pertain. Pertain means belonging to, the property of, right or duty of, who or what has power or possession or control or influence and authority over you instead of Christ. See, sometimes in our life, we're going to have this tug of war between the world and God. We need to make sure that we're leaning towards God and we're consulting him in all that we do. If we're under God's divine power, he says that we have been given all things, not all things we want. That's a different church channel that pertain to what? Life and godliness. The only source we have that is divine is God's power. There's nothing else that is divine. Through the knowledge of him. And how does he transmit the knowledge of him? Through his son, Jesus Christ. God tells us over and over in 66 books by 40 authors to know him. He says, if you read the Old Testament, you see he lets things happen. He allows things to happen. He makes things happen so that you will know he is Lord your God. Over and over, he has gone through extreme measures to get this point into our heads. He has wiped out complete civilizations, flooded the earth, and destroyed evil so his people could make it out into the kingdom of heaven. He has called us out to glory and virtue. Glory, praise, honor, worship, and thanksgiving. We think of glory as like, woo, lights shining down. No, it really has a meaning. It is praise, not praising us, praising God. Honoring, not honoring us, honoring God. Worship, praise, thanksgiving. Being thankful in all things. Virtue, meaning morality, God's morality, not our pretend morality that we say, I'm such a good husband, I'm such a good wife because I didn't do these bad things. No, God's morality. That's what we aim at. If we read the Bible, we find out what God wants. For without God, our virtue is changing like the tides. We go, oh, you know, that was good yesterday, but I think, you know, my wife, you know, she crossed the line there. My husband, he crossed the line there. My kids, my family member, my brother, my sister, they crossed the line there. Those are our shifting in sand moralities that we have. Peter continues in verse 4, whereby are given. It's given to us. It's a gift. Gift bestowed, granted, imparted to us. Unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Who's us? He's talking to us, the church. He's talking to the church 2,000 years ago. He's talking to the church in 2022. Those that follow Jesus Christ. Those who follow. They're the only ones that are going to hear. Because if you don't follow, you're going to turn your back and you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear. You're going to be those people like that Jesus had fed the 5,000. And then the next day they're like, all right, Jesus, what's for lunch today? Oh, well, eat my blood, drink my flesh. Or vice versa. And they're going, well, we're out of here. And they leave. But the true believers stood by and said, well, I don't really understand that. But where else are we going to go? You're the Son of God. You have the words. That's our attitude. That when we don't understand something, when we hear in the Bible something that like cuts us, we think, well, maybe if I heard that right, maybe I am supposed to be cut. Maybe I am supposed to be changed. Maybe God's telling me something. Maybe I should look into that. This promise from God is 100% guarantee if you do what he says. That doesn't mean flawless. It just means follow. Sometimes we're going to trip. Sometimes we're going to fall. Sometimes we're going to slide. But God's promises are true. What is that promise? That these ye may be partakers in the divine nature. Whose nature? The divine nature. God's character, nature, will, authority. That's who God is. Partake, experience, along with others, other believers. We should be experiencing with other believers. In heaven, we'll be with other believers. We're not going to be with heathens and non-believers. Don't we want to take part, partake? This is what he's giving us. He's reminding us that we get to have the nature of God and leave behind our sin nature. That's an exchange. You want the divine nature of God, you leave behind your sin nature. You dig a hole and you throw it in, and then you read the word and you use the word to keep that old dead man, woman in the grave dead. Why? Why do we want the nature? Why do we want to remember? We're back to the theme, remembering. Remembering, we're remembering because we need to remember where we came from to get to where we're going. We need to remember that we have, having escaped the corruption. The corruption, what's the corruption? The lies, the deception, the chaos that is in the world. How did this world corrupt us? Through lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pridely worldly lust. We went over that last time. These are over and over. These are our problems. This is what helps us fall away from God. Well, there's more. And in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So now he's going to tell us how to walk. He's going to tell us how we do this right. People of faith. People of faith that already have faith. So again, he puts faith. Add to your faith. If you had no faith, you can't add any of this. You have to start with faith. Peter seeks to excite and engage them and us to move forward, not stay behind, not stop, not go into neutral, not go into reverse. Peter gives us steps and to be diligent in all. Giving all diligence, which is all steady application, all constant effort to accomplish what you have undertaken. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have undertaken a walk on a different path, being different people than we were before. We have to keep in mind these thoughts that I have a different master now. We cannot serve two masters. You have to love the one and hate the other. You have to hate the old man, bury him. I hate the old Joe, and I don't like to think about him, and I'm glad he's dead, and the new Joe that follows Christ to get me out of the landfills of the devil is my daily walk. Steady application. Constant effort to accomplish what you had undertaken. All exertion of the body or mind or both without unnecessary delay. We shouldn't take a break. So this encompasses all of us, the flesh, the mind, the body, the soul. And to that get virtue, moral goodness, the practice of moral duties and abstaining from lust. Abstaining from conformity of life and to have conversation in the moral law. Then he says, to our knowledge, no, says add knowledge to our virtue. That's get pumped up with knowledge, which is a clear and certain perception of which is truth. That's important nowadays. We need to have a clear perception of what is truth, because the world is constantly telling us this is truth, that is truth. We need to keep focused. The minute we look up at a billboard, we're like thrown back 20 steps. Sorry. There. Okay, whereas our knowledge is very limited. God's knowledge is unlimited. And you know what? God would, if we ask God for it all, he'd give it to us in as many bites as we can take. And to this knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. So temperance, holding back indulgences of the world. Patience, a calm temper which bears evil without murmuring or discontent. As God is doing his work until perfection, after all, we were born enemies of God. And verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So to patience, we must add godliness. Patience is actually an outcome of godliness. When you're practicing godliness, God is very patient. And so he's teaching us, it's an outcome. It should come automatically to him. My son said, wow, Dad, you don't get mad anymore like you used to. I didn't even notice. But you see, I became patient, so therefore I didn't need to be mad. Add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Another word for charity is love. Another word for love is charity. They're interchangeable in many different instances. Charity. Why does God insist on this? Verse 8. For if these things be in you, if we choose God, if we choose a relationship with him, and abound. I know I made a note on abound. Great abound, great quantity, very prevalent. They should abound in us. People should be able to see. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these things are important. These instructions are important because this is our goal, to not be barren and unfruitful. We always want to be fruitful. We look at people that were unfruitful in the Bible. Michal, David's wife, King Saul's daughter, was put as a stumbling stone into David's life. She bared no fruit. She worshipped idols. To her death, she had no children. Unfruitful. But we want to be knowledgeable in our Lord Jesus Christ. If not, verse 9 tells us, But if he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten what he was purged of his old sins. Jesus purges us of our sins, and we forget these things. If we do not be fruitful, do not abound in these things, he's telling us that we're going to forget that we were purged from our old sins, and we may resort to those old sins. In verse 10, wherefore rather, brethren, talking to us, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Wow. That's kind of important that we might want to memorize some of these actions to make sure that we never fall and be swayed by the enemy. In Hebrews 4:11, it says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, unbelief. See, when we start walking another trail, then our faith gets challenged and we start looking at other things. We all know people that followed Christ, that we thought followed Christ, and then all of a sudden they start to have unbelief. They start to put faith in other things. They start to do other things, and they start quoting ungodly things, self things, instead of the things of God, submitting to God, humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. In verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make it okay. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So you can never fail. So be diligent. Our sin nature would have us think, well, I ain't really got to do anything. But this is telling us we need to look at our fruit. Other people are going to be looking at our fruit. So we need to be looking at our own fruit to make sure that we're in the faith. Verse 11. Why are these things important? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is this entrance? The narrow gate? There's a broad gate, a narrow gate, through which there's everlasting, that's forever, to an everlasting kingdom, which we can only have through Christ Jesus. Wherefore, verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. That doesn't mean he's remembering them always. He's putting them, he's telling them, remember these things. He pounds and repeats over and over, remember these things, ye will know them, and be, if you do that, if you remember these things, he's saying, you will be established in the present truth. The present truth, capital T, real truth, not fake news. Peter here does not want us to be negligent. He does not want to be negligent. Negligent, marked by or given to neglect, especially habitually or culpability as a careless workman, negligent of details. How can we tell others about Christ when we're negligent in details? So we will be. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet. Meet, a word for suitable, proper. I think it's proper that I must, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this tent, this temporary structure. I don't think he's talking about the building. He's talking about his physical, temporary tent body. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance, stirring. Well, why do we stir our food? So it won't burn. So it won't get stuck on the sides. So it'll be dually flavored. So it's not just the salt on the bottom or the salt on the top, or it's got water floating on the top or grease. He's stirring them. It's a constant motion. It's a motion to the end result. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, my tent, my body. I'm going to die. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me, to the end result. He knows his end result is to die. Is he crying if he's going to die? No, he says, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to suffer. I know Christ has shown me these things. Peter is teaching us and teaching till his death, just as Christ crucified. It doesn't sound like Peter was talking to E.F. Hutton or planning out his retirement for a tent in his rest home or his finances. Everything is about faith. Faith in the promise of God. Promises of God. And telling others about Jesus until the death. Where is your faith? What promises do you rely on? We have to correct ourselves all the time. We'd be thinking about my 401k, my Social Security. What promises do I rely on? Those are the distractions. We're not supposed to have Social Security. We're not supposed to have those. Those are all distractions, dependence on another God, the government. We need to be not distracted. We need to focus on Christ and Him crucified. I believe Paul said, I know nothing other than Christ crucified. That should be us. Peter was in Christ, and Peter just wouldn't shut up about Christ. The world wants us to shut up. The world wants us to hate Christ. The world and Satan wants us to curse God and die. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, death, to have these things always in remembrance. He's reminding them, remember even when I'm dead. Remember right now, remember when I'm dead. Remember. Peter sums this up in his epistle. 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Difficult nowadays. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were witnesses of his majesty. Witnesses, what did we see? It's witnesses of his word, of his teachings, not just seeing him. There are a lot of devised fables today that surrounds us and force themselves into our houses, into our bodies, into our minds, and try to invade our souls to give us an eternal destination of hell with their lies. Peter's warning and instruction to protect us from the lies of this world is by knowing God and Jesus Christ. Remember these things. Lord, we thank you for your message. We pray that you would help us remember these things. Always. We know that you're just walking us through this world as we hold your hand and you carry us through the landmines. We pray that we would remember these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember. Now you guys have